Simplicity.
Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
It's not quite been 1,000 years, but it is just over 100 years since the Benedictine nuns found a new home in the west of Ireland at Kylemore Abbey. Since arriving there in 1920, they have educated many young women at their school, attracted hundreds of thousands of international visitors to their beautiful walled gardens, and produced tons of their much-loved handcrafted chocolates and soaps. And all this has happened under the guiding hand of a community of hard-working Benedictine nuns, and their story is now being told in a gorgeous new documentary series, which starts on RTÉ television this weekend. To tell us all about it, I'm joined by Abbess of Kylemore Abbey, Mother Carol O'Connell, Sister Genevieve Harrington, and Head Chocolatier at the Abbey, Veronica Davin. You're all very welcome to the programme. Hello, how are you?
Hello, Brendan. Thank you very much.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Good. So I have Mother Carol, I have Sister Genevieve, and I have Veronica, correct?
Yes, I'm here.
Present, yes.
Yes, I just watched the first episode and it's a pure joy. Have you seen it yet, Mother Carol?
Yes, we have.
No, I haven't, no.
No, you haven't. Well, you're in for a treat. You're great. For those who might not know, Mother Carol, I'm going to start with you. I have been to Kylemore Abbey. I've been a few times, actually, and it never doesn't leave me completely chilled out, relaxed, and my breath is always taken as you pull up to the house. Tell people a little bit about the history of Kylemore Abbey, Mother Carol.
Okay, the castle was built in 1867 by Mitchell Henry for his wife, Margaret, and their 9 children.
Wow.
They were very benevolent landlords, much loved by the local community. Margaret actually died just 4 years after the castle was completed, which was very sad, really. The Neo-Gothic church on the land, it was built in her memory. The second owners of the castle were the Duke and Duchess of Manchester.
Wow.
A very glamorous couple purchased the estate in 1903, and they lived there just for about 10 years. In 1920, then, the nuns, after fleeing the bombing of their monastery in Ypres in Belgium, the nuns settled in at that stage.
And it was quite derelict, wasn't it,
when they arrived? It was, yeah. And they were very poor, really, and, you know, they worked hard from the beginning. And, like, with the help of the local people were great, really. And then the nuns, well, we ran a local boarding school, and it was an international boarding school as well, from 1923 until 2010.
I remember it well.
And that kind of brings us to the present day, really.
And, Mother Carol, you are the 20th abbess of Kylemore Abbey.
That's right.
For almost a year now. How are you finding your new job?
Very busy.
How did you find yourself at Kylemore Abbey? And now you're the abbess, but how did you start? You're there a long time now.
I started, I suppose, because of my interest in music.
Oh, really?
I had heard from one of my teachers in secondary school, way down in Cork, that the nuns in Kylemore Abbey sang their divine office. And this was, I said, oh my God, I'd have to go to visit there. So,
That was in 1978, is that right?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right, yeah. And I had been teaching music before I entered. So, I said, I'll have to check this out. And I did, and I went. And then exactly a year after my first visit, I entered there.
Wow, 1979.
Yeah.
So people describe it as a magical and tranquil place. What's it like to live there?
It's wonderful because every day is different, and like you're looking out on all this beauty, mountains and hills and lakes, and you know, and no 2 days are the same, you know. And in our new monastery now, we're up on a kind of a height, and we're looking out on that every morning. We just catch the sunrise.
Wow.
And it's stunning, really. You
wow.
know, it's a beautiful place to be. We're very lucky.
Yeah, but you're a person of many talents because you also paint.
Sure, that's just a hobby, really. But I do like.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Are you the Connemara ponies on the mugs?
That's right.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Anybody
Thank
who's been
you.
There will have bought one of those Connemara pony mugs. They're absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
And your motto is pray and work. So despite all the challenges and changes you have faced at Colmore Abbey, you and the community there have stayed true to that. Has that been tough?
No, because our life is very balanced, and we have, like, we follow the rule of St. Benedict, which is great balance in it, really.
Yeah.
And our life is divided into three kind of categories, I suppose. Prayer, manual work, and spiritual reading. You know, and we meet five times a day to pray together. In our public church, you know, this is open to the public. Our church is full most days for Mass. And a lot of people come for Vespers as well. That's the evening prayer at 6 o'clock.
So how many sisters are living there?
13 just at the moment now, 13.
And what was the most amount of sisters at one point when it was a school? Was it big?
Well, when I entered in 78, we had about 26 sisters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So twice the size, really.
Yeah.
But then you have a whole other crew of people working there.
Yeah,
now.
We have a fantastic staff, you know, and like, we'd be the biggest employer now, like, in Connemara.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, like, it's.
Yeah, it's really quite. I remember going there. I think I went there in 2009, would you believe?
Right.
And it was the last year it was a school, the first time I went there.
Right.
And it was still thronged with visitors.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even more so now, I'd say,
oh,
really.
I'd say, yeah, 100%. But even at that time, while it was still a school, people still wanted to come and see it because it's majestic feeling when you're there. So, Veronica, you have an incredible role. You're head chocolatier. That kind of stumped me a little bit. How did you get that job?
I just applied for the job. It came up and I decided to apply for a job as chocolatier. And I've been here now over 4 years. I just love it. It's a lovely job.
It's a very big part of the overall business, let's be honest. It's like, you know, Colmore Abbey Inc., isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a big part of Colmore Abbey, Colmore Chocolate. And there's a lot of different ranges and we've new boxes now and stuff. So there's a lot going on at the moment in the chocolate house.
So working there, from your opinion as a layperson, what makes Colmore so special, do you think?
It's just wonderful. Like, the people, the place, it's just fantastic to work in. Everyone gets along so well. We have good fun and we just enjoy. It's really nice. The sisters are so good to us, so kind, and caring. It's very nice.
You're no stranger to cameras. You caught the attention of much-loved Irish chef Nevin Maguire and you were on one of his shows, is that right?
Yeah, and Evan was so good. Like, he was back with us there in 2021, I think it was.
And were you
Christmas,
able to
he did a lovely Christmas special and I enjoyed every minute.
He's absolutely amazing. Were you able to direct the sisters and say, look, calm down, don't get nervous, it's just television?
I wish. It's me that gets a little bit nervous, but yeah, I enjoyed it.
Genevieve, Sister Genevieve.
Yes,
beautiful Ryan. Name, Sister Genevieve. You're a long way from home. You were born in Australia.
I am Australian, yes. Well, I have now dual nationality, which is wonderful, two wonderful countries. And I came here in 2002 from Australia.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you have another connection to Colmore Abbey, don't you?
I do, as a matter of fact. Do you want to hear the most interesting one?
Oh, I love this. Go on.
Okay. Well, I lived in Tangier. I was a secretary there at one of the consulates, and there was a British community. And, I left then and came to Ireland to study, and I entered religious life in 1980. Well, then I'd left everything in Ireland and Europe behind until 2002, when my monastery was on the verge of closing. I had to find another monastery, and my thoughts went back to Ireland, and so I came to Colmore, only to find that a friend of mine, whom I knew from Tangier days, Muriel Mitchell Henry, her grandfather had actually built it.
She was of the Henry family from 1864. That's amazing. That's amazing, isn't it?
That is, I beg your pardon.
That's incredible. What an incredible link.
Well, it's not incredible. No, it's, I'd say it was Holy Spirit. There we are. Uh-huh. I've always felt that I was
me,
meant
Sister
to be
Genevieve.
There.
Of course it was the Holy Spirit. How dare I? So a lot of people come and see you guys at work in such a stunning location. Do people, Sister Genevieve, I'm going to ask you this question because you're not a bit afraid of me. Do people often, are they curious about your way of life? Do they ask you how you live?
Well, they see us working, yeah. Perhaps they are curious. Yes, they see us working. I haven't had anyone actually ask me, and then we have day retreats and things like that. They seem to understand that I have found my place, that I'm happy and fulfilled in this particular life. So that's all very positive. So they don't actually ask me that sort of question, no. On the other hand, there aren't too many religious vocations around, so it isn't appealing to a lot of people. But they can see I'm happy and fulfilled, and perhaps they wonder why or whatever. I don't know. I would say something about the pearl of great price or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't get too many questions about vocations, no. They just see me working and see me praying. Yes. That's it.
So in your opinion, as a blow-in, what makes Kylemore so special, Sister Genevieve?
The beauty of the place, I've never seen or been in a place, and I have travelled quite a lot, where just people fall in love with it, you know. It's the change of scenery and the beautiful natural lakes and mountains, but various seasons, various times of day, the quality of light, and they just love it. That I've never seen people just fall in love with the place like that. So that attracts them. Mm-hmm. And then, apart from the natural beauty of the place, then they get interested in all the attractions we have. The walled garden, of course, the neo-Gothic church, the abbey itself with the exhibition. And then they look at us through the windows, either making chocolate or making soap or something like that. Or they come and join us in prayer.
And Sister Genevieve, you're responsible for the chocolate making at Kylemore, aren't you?
I started the soap and chocolate, yes, when the school closed and we looked around and we had to earn our living or whatever. And I'd come from a monastery where they were well into crafts and things, so I was interested in crafts, although I hadn't done soap before. But anyway, there's a lot to be found on the internet and I knew it could be done. It was basically simple. And so, little by little, you know, one up, two mm-hmm. back, yep. We got soap going. That was in 2007. And then that went rather nicely.
Tell me about the soap, because I've missed, when I was there, I didn't see the soap, but I saw the soap in the documentary. How did the soap come about? And it's very popular, isn't it?
It is very popular. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, soap. The Romans invented soap, so it's not new. But we have refined it a bit since then. Mm-hmm. And we have nice oils and it's still the basic, you know, lye and temperatures, and it's a chemical process, of course. And then presto, soap.
So we're talking about the small, you know, the products that you've made. But actually, the really fascinating thing in episode one of the documentary is that you, as a community, had to pivot to survive. The school closed, and therefore your function in the community changed, and you had to react to that. And you did as a community. It's really commendable.
Thank you.
You answered that.
No, just thank you.
No, Mother Carol, no, tell me how that did. I think this is the story. A lot of people won't know how hard you have all worked to keep the Abbey as a public, you know, as a public treasure. You pivoted into it. So congratulations. And how hard was that pivot? Like, was it sitting around a boardroom? Come on, we got to figure this out.
No, we just kind of acted very fast, you know. And it's strange because we were living in the castle at the time. And the roof literally fell in on top of us. Stop. And we had to move out of the castle. And we lived in our farmhouse then for 18 years. Wow. And, you know, that was the big sacrifice.
A big challenge.
You know, yeah it was, really. Yeah. And now we have this beautiful new monastery with, you know, with the education and retreat centre. And, you know, I really feel God is really looking down on us. And blessing us, you know.
Listen, I'm convinced, like, and it's a beautiful watch. So just to clear that up, so the Abbey was there, the school closed down, you pivoted into other things. So And just tell me, there's two questions I want to ask is, how did the new building come about where you have the retreats and where you live? Is that correct?
That's right. We're living in the new building now.
Beautiful new building that's heat sealed and I'm sure insulated and comfortable, where you've been in the Fallen Inn Castle for 18 years. Now you have. So you fundraised and sold chocolate to build this building. Is that basically what happened?
Yeah, and like, but you have to remember, like, when I entered in 1978, we were talking that time about building a new monastery. Okay. So this was something that was going on for years.
Since 1970,
yeah, you know,
there.
Like, and maybe even before I entered, you know. So, like, it was our dream, really.
Yeah.
You know, and now we have it,
and
we're delighted.
And there's no doubt, for the film tells that, you can see that.
Yeah.
You really worked for it. Like, yeah. It's wonderful. Were you nervous about letting the cameras into the Abbey?
No, especially I think once we met the crew, because they were just so nice and they didn't intrude in any way, you know. They were very gentle, and you know, sometimes when you do a shot in front of a camera, you have to do it maybe 40 or 50 times. Well, there was none of that. Okay. You know, you did it once.
You weren't talking about tequila there. No, you were talking about filming. So yeah, no, and there is, like, it's quite laborious. It's not like live radio where you just get on with it, right?
Yeah.
And Sister Genevieve, were you nervous about the cameras at all?
Not exactly, because they didn't want us to be. They wanted us to everything to be natural and spontaneous. So there was nothing rehearsed.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, we'd put on our best aprons and things like that. But no, there was nothing rehearsed as such. It was just business as usual. And they were kind enough to get the best angles and things. And then presumably they edited the unflattering bits out and, you know, kept the nice bits in. We hope anyway. I haven't seen it. So.
It's a powerful story. It's well told. I've got a text here for everybody on the phone here from Ken in Wicklow. And he says, the sisters are talking about the beauty of the place. This is from a texter. He's saying, but as a regular visitor to Colmore Abbey, they're selling the story short. The real beauty is in the grace and gentleness of the beautiful sisters.
That's very nice.
And you do come across like that right now, and you come across that in the film. So just to surmise for anybody who doesn't know what Colmore Abbey is, Mother Carol, tell people what you do in Colmore Abbey. I mean, it's a visitor centre, but you do retreats. You do so much more than
yeah,
people.
Yeah, we have a retreat and education centre. But I suppose the first thing that we do is that we pray. And that we pray for the whole world, really. I mean, there are so many pockets and strife in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
And we pray for all those places and we pray for all those people. And then we invite people to come and pray with us. And that's our first thing, really. You know, all the other things are just little jobs that we do here and there. And then we have this retreat and education centre. Now, if you came to Kylemore last week, you would have heard music everywhere, because we had the Ceoil na mBaile Orchestra doing a week's course with us. At the same time, in another building, we had an icon writing course going on.
Wow.
We have centering prayer retreats. We are going to run our first lace retreat, because when our nuns came from Ypres, of course they were great lacers, because they're right beside Bruges there, and they brought this art over and they actually taught the young girls in Connemara how to do lace. Now, can you imagine that way back in the early 1900s?
Wow.
And over the years, it was kind of lost. So we're actually reviving that again. And a few of the sisters have taken up lace now, and we're going to run our first course.
Fantastic.
In February. And we have huge interest in it. And then we have Sister Genevieve, who's here with me. She runs a lot of day retreats.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on.
So we can get
caught
up in the chocolate and the soap, but really there's so much more to it.
There's so much more. And look on our website. It's all on our website.
Wouldn't be able. That's amazing. So glamourhappy.ie, I'm sure. I have really enjoyed chatting to you, and I really enjoy. And I suppose just one last question, Mother Carol. What would you like viewers to take away from the film?
That there's a living Benedictine community here in Ireland, and come and see us.
Oh, that's so lovely. Okay, so The Hills Are Alive, A Year at Colmore Abbey, starts this Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on RTE1 and on the RTE Player. It's a three-part series. And if this conversation doesn't make you thirsty to see more, nothing will. It's a fabulous one. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mother Carol, Sister Genevieve, and Veronica Davin.
Thank you all so much. And break a leg on Sunday. It's going to be great.
Thank you so much.
Let's take a break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.